it's funny, when I heard about Erica, it was from Pam, Pamela Poe, our associate director, and I was notorious for getting her name wrong. Because I'd be like, oh, Emily Ty, Erica Ty, or like I would spell it with a K instead of a C, like all the things that I should have really paid attention, but Pam just said, like, I think we should go with this person. I heard her on a Catholic Creatives podcast, and I've heard her in this and this, and she's this and this, and I was like, okay, cool, like, if you say so, go for it, let's do it. And I actually didn't have a chance to connect or talk with Erica until today, but I had emailed her, and it was very clear early on that her IT tech skills were pretty bad, because she'd said, when I said, what do you need for your presentation, she was like, do you have any of those little thingies that attach to the computer so that I can project onto the screen? And I was like, I emailed back, sure, no problem, yeah, of course, we do have those little thingies. Do you have a PC or a Mac? And she said, thank you, so glad you read between the lines. And then I emailed back, you're welcome, PC or Mac? And then she was like, I have a MacBook. And I was like, perfect, great. But so I was somewhat skeptical. Like, how is this person like an artist that understands beauty if she can't even plug her laptop into whatever? But clearly I was wrong. Clearly, what I appreciate so much that Erica emphasized several times tonight in her talk was she talked just about, and it kind of reminds us of something that C.S. Lewis says. C.S. Lewis says this about scriptures. I'm sure David Bates will negate this or tell me I said it wrong, because David Bates is a C.S. Lewis buff here in the room. If you don't know David, he's the guy who helps us with our podcasts and records them, and he has his own podcast that I listen to. I think it's amazing. So anyways, it's on C.S. Lewis. But C.S. Lewis says, you don't need to be a scripture scholar to know what God is basically saying to you in the Bible. You don't need to have a degree in theology to understand scripture, to get the essence of it, the importance of it. Because of our experiences in reading the gospel, in reading scripture, now this is me interpreting what he said, those things pull truth out of us and help us call into the truth that God is calling upon us. That we have that innate understanding, as St. Paul says, morality and truth is written across the heart of man. And so we have that understanding, the ability to recognize truth in beauty, but also truth in the incarnate word being Jesus Christ. And what was unique that Erica kept saying tonight was that she doesn't have the theology, she doesn't have this, she doesn't have that. But what she did have is she had experience to which led her into creating beauty, right? Like her relationships and the experiences that she has from day to day are what help her be an artist and proclaim the beauty of God. And anything and everything. And I would say that that is so much of a challenge to all of us. Like, we fail to recognize that our experience has value. It has meaning. God didn't just put us here on this earth for no reason. He didn't just put us here just to exist. As human beings, we're always something that can be. It's why being is not just a standstill word. It has more to it. We're called into creation. We're creatures that exist. And so I would challenge all of you all this week and going forward to seek beauty in your day-to-day life. But see, what experiences you have are moments of truth, are moments of beauty. One of the most powerful experiences I ever had, I know we talked about marriage tonight a little bit because Erica is going to be getting married soon. There are some questions on that tonight as well. But when my wife Margot and I, when we welcomed our first daughter, Mia Marguerite. I remember that moment of her coming into the world. It was actually somewhat comical because Margot had decided to offer up all of her labor pains for intention. So I was texting friends and family saying, we're in labor, please text me anything you want Margot to pray for. She's going to offer up her pains of labor for you all. So I was like reading names to her, you know, and halfway through the labor process, Margot was like, ugh, Eve, wait till I meet her. She was pissed, just say it clearly. But like, we made it through that. But so Margo's exhausted. They take Mia, they do whatever they do after a newborn baby is in the world officially out of my wife's belly. There's a better way to say that, but I'm just not gonna. You know, she may not be a theologian. I'm definitely not someone in the medical field, so I don't know the terminology as well. But the nurse came in for Mia to eat, and Margo was so exhausted. This was in Summit, New Jersey. We were living in North Jersey at the time. And she gave Mia to Margo. Margo fed her, and Margo just fell right back to sleep, rightly so. She'd done a phenomenal job in labor and delivery. And so I'm sitting there, and the nurse, like, dims the lights, turns them off, and she's like, here's your baby. And that was the first time I really just got to hold Mia by myself, right? So I'm sitting down in this chair, and I will never, ever forget this moment. The nurse left. She said, should I turn the light off? And I said, yeah, turn it off. She turns the lights off. It's pitch black in the room. But just a small amount of light was creeping in from the hallway where the nurses were buzzing by. And that light cast just enough of a glow in the darkness for me to see Mia's face. And I'm holding her in this chair. And I'm looking at her, and her eyes are opening kind of for the first time. And she's got this kind of like sort of face. And she's looking at me, but she's probably not because it's all blurred because they're still so newborn. They're not really good at looking at that time. But I'm just staring at her. There's this little creature that I had created. And I remember the thought that hit my mind, and it was almost terrifying, but it was so true. I thought, and I said this in my head to myself, I just thought, I barely know you, and I would die for you right now. I believe that as artists, as beings that God created and put truth into, we're called to find moments of truth like that. Because that moment identified my fatherhood. That moment identified who I was and who I would be henceforth as a spouse to my wife, but as a servant king, a man who would sacrifice himself. That's beauty. God gave us these gifts of our bodies. I was so grateful to be able to have made love and then name that love 9 months later, Mia Marguerite. We've named it 4 more times. We have 5 kids. It's a long story. But in that moment, that was one of those defining moments where I was like, whoa, this is beautiful. Like, this is truth in this. So I would encourage all of you all, it doesn't have to be as amazing as that unless you're Pamela Poe or someone. I saw another woman here who was pregnant, which maybe you'll experience that too, hopefully very soon. But yes. Wherever you are in life, God has called you into that moment to be a vessel of beauty, but also to discover his beauty in your life. Can we all agree to that? Amen. Amen.